Good evening. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about humility in just a couple of scriptures in regards to that. And the title is "Humble It Down, Tiger." God wants us full of life and vibrancy. And so when we talk about humility, some people get the wrong idea. But we have to ask ourselves a question. Are you proud or humble? And there's, what's that old saying? It says, "I'm proud to be humble," you know. But in looking at any language, the words are just a little bit different. But we just need to understand what God is talking about. We need to be very honest about that answer in terms of submitting before God. And are we proud or humble? But very often we don't know that we have pride. And what God does on our wonderful walk with Him is He orchestrates a lot of circumstances and a lot of interactions with people to show, look at that. That was a basis of pride. Only God can really reveal that. In the light, we're going to be seen for what we are. But humility needs to be clarified a little bit. Being humble doesn't mean you walk around with your head down and that you back away from every challenge that you come into. It's kind of a false idea. We've seen that in a quiet and meek. You can be very vociferous for the Lord and not be a prideful person. So you have to understand what God is talking about here. Being humble means that you know what your gifts are. You have to have that confidence. It has to be godly purity and understanding. God, show me the gifts. I want to do what you want me to do. So you don't just wake up one day with them. They're part of the process of your life. You can see that you lean one way or the other. You know, you're a teacher or an administrator. There's things that you have power and strength in. Those are gifts from the Lord. So humility means you know what your gifts are, but you acknowledge and you know from whom they came. You know that it is a God thing. Those that don't have that, they're going to continue in their own accomplishments and what they did, whatever, never understanding that they couldn't even do or be who they are without God having put something in that. And I reflect on my own life as a lot of, over my lifetime, a lot of my work has been teaching. So I look and I go, when did that start? But I can remember just being a kid, a little kid, and teaching, you know, explaining. It was, if you want to call teaching explaining, I was always explaining something to someone. Years and years ago when I was in nursing school as a freshman, some of the seniors would come to me and say, "Hey, I heard you understood this." So I'd sit down and explain like portal cable shunts and stuff. And they go, "How do you know this stuff?" And I go, "I don't know. I just kind of like read it and then I just kind of like understand it and I kind of teach myself it. You know, I just break it down into the parts and whatever." And they go, "Oh, okay." I go, "I don't know how it works," whatever. Just, so I knew from a long time ago, it wasn't anything I had. It wasn't anything I developed. It wasn't something for me. If it worked, I didn't know at the time all that, how God wraps all that stuff in. So it's only when you look back, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You look back and you go, wow, I have been in a lot of teaching. I was teaching when I was in the military in nursing, and that was a position I had as a training officer. You know, I mean, I was involved in setting up classes and doing the classes and did that. And I taught in civilian life at college. I was a nursing instructor at college. Okay, so I'm teaching again, and for 13 years over here at our little Christian school, and I taught there. And taught the math and the science and some of the history and the English things there. It's like teaching. So I'm not surprised that as God has called me into ministry, it hasn't been in some of the other fields that are in ministry. It has been in teaching. So I go, wow, God, you just it's what you want. But when I came to know the Lord, I said, God, use me however you want. Do with me as you will. And then, boy, my whole life fell apart. And I go, whoa, wait a minute, whoa. wait. But if you really mean it, and he goes, oh, okay. And I don't mean to say fall apart. I'm just saying he deconstructed everything I had built because he wanted to build something new. He didn't leave me a shambles. He takes out the junk, and he takes out maybe something I had an idea on, and he puts me where he wants me. And he does the same thing for all of us. But we have to be so careful. Being humble isn't being weak. Being humble, it takes strength Because in being humble, you have to know where those gifts come. And that can work against you. Like, you know, Ted, he's been in security for years. He was a professional wrestler. So his body and his strength and all of that are very powerful things to him. And he's used them. But God knows where his heart is. God knows when he stood there and go, "Hey, man, look at me." You know, God knows whatever of that has to be there. But it's just wonderful how God, he doesn't come against us when we don't get it straight. So as we go through our lives, there are things that God is doing, and you just have to be careful, because if you're good at what you do, you can start taking credit for it, and you need to be really careful. And God will be glad to oblige you if you have any pride in there. And I can vouch for that. I can remember being up at the college teaching, and I loved that job. And I can remember one day I was in my white lab coat. I just come back from assessing some patients at the hospital, getting ready to sign up to my students. And I have my little briefcase, and I'm walking across the campus, and a few people are saying, "Oh, hi, Miss Pansley, hi, Miss Pansley." And I remember saying to God, "God, I love this job. You know, I am so good at what I do. Yes, I love it." And I had the accolades of many, which is nothing wrong with accolades. If you're doing a good job, hey, you're doing a good job. But there was something deeper in me that I didn't know was in there. And I went, "Oh, wow." In that moment, I can still picture the day. It was a sunny day. It was towards the latter part of the morning. And I can still remember that. The minute I said, "Oh, God, I love this job," I felt this little ping in here. And it went, "Ooh, I love it too much. Do I love it too much?" And I go, ooh, what's going on here? And I say, "Oh, Lord, I don't know what's going on." Soon after that point, I got a message in my heart from the Lord. It was time to renew my contract. And all I heard the Lord say in February of 1980, my contract was need to be renewed in June of that year. I just heard him say very clearly to my heart, "Don't renew your contract." And I thought, "Oh, Lord, what do you mean? How do I pay my bills? You know, hello, it's my job I love. This is my stepping stone to my office at USF, you know, what are you doing, Lord?" And I can remember going through a process of things and some of the jobs that I had working in manual labor. I mean, my family thought I was crazy, but I had to pay my bills. So, you know, the whole bunch of other ancillary jobs in nursing, the whole Hillsborough County had been frozen. I was out of the military by that time, so I didn't have that income. It was like, oh my gosh. But God knows how to get some things to our awareness. And I can remember standing in line one time after I was out working in the business with Mark. And I was standing in line at a 7-Eleven. Just, you know, by 8 o'clock in the morning, you were soaking wet with sweat working out there in the lawns, you know. And I would stink and whatever. And I remember I was standing there, and this guy came up next to me, you know, to check out at the counter. And he just stepped back. I know, because I just smelled so badly. And I just said, "Lord, you are just..." There were a number of other circumstances that I previously shared, but that I am aware of. God was exposing me to embarrassing situations to make sure that I truly understand I am not in charge. What you do does not make you important to me. It's who you are. And I tell you, God takes us, everyone in here who really loves the Lord and you want to do it His way, you are going to have to go through this. You are going to be humbled. And not as a punishment, and not because you're wrong, but because God knows that we have inherent in us an Adam nature that will rule if we don't have it exposed, and we need to know that. And I know that it seems so strange, some of the things that are happening. I'm not picking on Ted here, but it seems so strange. A man of power and a man of strength. He wrestled bears, for crying out loud. He fought in Vietnam. I mean, just, and now he's having some bone problems and knee problems, and he uses a cane, and he has to sit a lot more than what he would want. Can't get up and in and out. And I'm going, God, I'm not saying that he's prideful. I'm just saying he's going through the ringer, and God is doing whatever needs to be done. But that contrast is so, so big. Top of the heap to what looks like bottom of the heap, and it's not. in God. It's powerful and it's pure and it's holy. So go through it. Do whatever has to be done. Even if God has to take away some of the things we were very familiar with and had our comfort level in. God is always pushing me to levels of my comfort level. I'm always going, God, I just kind of like don't like that because it's like unknown. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. But then when I meditate on that and I go, you know, it really is better if I don't. I'm not talking about being a scatterbrain. I'm not talking about that. Really is better because that keeps him in charge. That really is better that you put me in a situation, God, where I'm not in charge of what happens and what goes down. I am at your bidding. You do with me as you will. You set up what needs to be set up and give me what the wisdom that I need to get done what needs to be done. So this nature, after Adam's fall, man's nature changed, and I'm sure you have heard some people talk about like sin in their lives. Say, well, God made me this way. Let me give a little correction here for that. When we see people abusing children, when we see people, you know, alcoholics running their car over people in a crowd, when we see war, when we see all of these kind of things, the hatred and the misalignments and the dissensions and the factions and the putrid things of life and the lies and the thievery and the murder and the adulteries and all the rest of the things that are destroying people and families and lives and businesses and bribery, lies and corruption, etc., etc., to stand here and say, God made me this way? Alert, people, alert. Let the flashing light go off. God did not make us like what we see around us. So stop shaking your fist at God. What is happening in our world, everything that is wrong and dark and gloomy and ugly and terrible is not of God. When Adam sinned, the perfection he had in his nature from God changed. Disobedience separated him from God, which means it separated him from that cleanness and righteousness and perfection. What started out, what God gave Adam and Eve was love. But after the fall, it became lust, and that's what we're dealing with here. What God gave Adam and Eve was steadfastness. And after the fall, that was changed to stubborn. What God gave Adam and Eve was a positive, powerful confidence. And after the fall and that disobedience, that changed into pride. So you see, it's like a little bit about like what God gave us, but it's the broken part. So there is a, like people say, well, man is born basically good. No, but he has some things in him. Man does have love in him without God. Man does have forgiveness abilities. You know, he does have kindness and compassion. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people out there that don't believe in God at all. And they are feeding the poor and they're kind and they love their animals, etc. That is not what God's talking about. Our level of anything that's good is not going to last. It's always going to come into that wall. You're going to love someone until they tick you off. You're going to be generous until it starts taken away from you. I mean, I don't care what it is. You will be kind, but not only once you meet unkindness, then you're not going to be kind. You see, our nature cannot do what God said, and that's the frustration that many people are suffering from. They read the Word of God, if they even do that, and they go, but I can't do this. And God goes, I know you're handicapped. You're born with crippled spiritual legs, so to speak, because of what Adam did. I always call us Adam's crack babies. He's the one who did the problem. We ended up being born from that with the lesser than what God started out with. But because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to stay that way. The infilling of Jesus and that Spirit of God into your life gives you the God nature, which is the love that is going to be beyond what you could possibly have the ability to. So it just, this is where the changes and the differences. I'm sure you're getting the picture from what I'm saying. God created perfection, but the disobedience of Adam and Eve led to the separation from that. And our end result is that lesser portion. So we're handicapped. That's why God's mercy is so wonderful. He loves us. He says, I didn't make you like you were born. That's why I have extra love on you. I see you as little crippled children, so to speak. You're dirty, filthy, crippled little children. God says the heart of man is desperately wicked, and pride says, no, it isn't. I know what I'm doing. I don't believe that. Whoa. It was pride. from the adversary that got him kicked out and disobeying God. You know better than God. Stop being your own God. It doesn't work. We don't have that capacity. But that pride says, that ability, I can do this better than anybody else. I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me what to do. That starts very early in our lives. Anyone who has raised children is going to see that. They might not say it to you, don't tell me what to do. But their actions are opposite of what you have told them to do. So they're screaming out. Even though they may not say it, their actions are saying, don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. So when we humble ourselves, that puts us really in an excellent position. And that makes us open to the grace of God. Humility, I'm not God. You are. You have done all of this, Lord. You are the one that has perfection. I don't have it, and I need it from you. Now in James chapter 4, verse 6, I absolutely love that scripture. It's like a gift on top of all of our mess. God keeps giving to us. James 4, 6 says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud. Boy, that should make you shiver. But gives grace to the humble. Oh, when you come in that condition to him, when you put your lofty self away, what you want, what you think, what you need, what you see, your viewpoint, etc., etc. And this is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. And it crops up even though you put it away. It'll crop up. You put it away. It'll crop up again. It is so powerful what God says. Instead of that broken thing that I know what I'm doing, I can do this, and all of the broken parts of the Adam nature, we need the purity of confidence, not pride. You do need to be confident in who you are. You need to be confident who you are in Christ. You need to be confident as a mother or a father. You need to be confident as a husband or a wife. You need to be confident, not prideful in what I've done, but confident. Meaning that in Jesus Christ, I can do what you ask me to do because I'm going to practice letting your nature rule me. This is a much more powerful viewpoint than this, you know, proud or humble or I can or I can't, etc., etc. This pure confidence is the one that we want. And that will push that pride, that broken stuff, out of the way. And that pure confidence is opposite from the problem-causing pride. Confidence in doing what you're doing will keep you there doing it, will let you know before the Lord. Pride always interferes. It always brings something nasty into the mix, and you don't want that. Very difficult. You know, a husband makes a suggestion to a wife, and I tell you, don't tell me what to do. It's just pride. Aren't we open to an opportunity for a suggestion? If it's not going to be good, you say, well, Lord, I just want your will. Whether you buy a house, I mean, there's big decisions here, or whether you buy a certain brand of cereal. I mean, everything needs to come under the Lord, and I want my pride in the way. And this is a powerful, powerful way. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, oh, I tell you, God is going to do this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. He will help you. If there's been discourse and problems at home, and you go before the Lord and you're not trying to make your way and all this, you want God's way in your life, in your home, in your family, he's going to work that out. He's going to make peace where there has been war. And some of our couples know this. Those that have are involved in families, and some are still raising your kids. Boy, I tell you, what a job that is. Don't beat yourself up when it's not done correctly. Keep going back to that wellspring of life. Keep going back to the Spirit of God, because that is how it's going to be done. Every single one of us have not done it correctly 100% of the time. And everyone who has raised up some kids can look back and go, you know, I could have done that differently. Back then you couldn't have, because you are who you are at the time with what you know and who you are. And God is the one that had mercy so that there wasn't that much blood on the walls and everyone still lived. And the ones that are living their lives before the Lord, for the most part, their kids are coming up pretty well. God, they might go a little off course sometimes, but God has given a command and a promise. You bring up your children in the ways of the Lord, they will not stray far from him. Now, that scripture says about exalting you at the proper time. It says that humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That immediately struck me as different from how people think of God sometimes. God doesn't desire to put his boot on your neck. It didn't say, humble yourself under the mighty boot of God. He is not some dictator. He is not a wrathful God waiting for you to fall, to slam you with punishment. We live on a cursed earth and a cursed body. That's of itself. That's enough to bring us trials and troubles. He said, every day, don't be worried about tomorrow. Every day he's got enough to worry about, to go through, and to come to him for each and every day. And this is so powerful. Instead of being that controller, the one that wants to slam us down, that's been a wrong teaching of man. Yes, God is powerful. Yes, God is going to have the last say. And yes, God is in control. But he is a loving God. He fulfilled everything in the law. There's no more eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is a love your enemies God. But loving your enemies doesn't mean that you give an endorsement of their sinful behavior. It just means you don't have judgment and condemnation. You don't come against them or hold it against them. You leave all of that to God. You live your life in a way that might help them to come to that fruitful understanding of a relationship in Jesus Christ. But this great God, he, instead of putting a boot on our neck, he so desires our fellowship with him. Some of those songs that we had tonight before church, those songs in worship, they were so powerful, talking about a God that loves us. He desires us to be his friend. And I go, I am just such a mess up, Lord. And he goes, I'm not looking to that. I mean, you don't look at your one-year-old who cannot tie their shoes. You don't look at them and say, you're such a mess up, I'm not going to work with you anymore. You work with that one-year-old, might grow up to be some nuclear physicist, who knows? That's how God looks at us. He doesn't look at what we can't do. He looks at what if we let him, what he can do in us. What a great God. What a great God. The thing is, he doesn't need us. It's we that need him. Now, he needs us from the standpoint of having an object to put his love on, and that term, but not a need like we need. We need him. He can exist without us. We cannot exist without him. Or you will live without him. But your existence is going to end at a certain point. If you are not clean in him through Jesus Christ, you will not be with him. You will be with those who are condemned forever in hell. Now, I'm not talking about a hell and damnation sermon here. I'm talking about the reality of you're either with God or you're against God. So let God be God, is what he's telling us. Give it up. We're not good at being God. We only think we are. And that pride doesn't let you know that you are being the God of your life. You're not deferring to God's will. You're not deferring to God's ways. What is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to go? There's times that you go into the store and then you just feel really compelled to go over and visit someone. That's a life led in the Lord. Now, don't be just every little feeling you have. I'm not talking about just doing that. But I'm just saying sometimes a strong compulsion to go visit someone. Well, guess what? God might have you minister to them. God might have something going on, a message or a prayer or something. He's building you up. He's building someone else up. And guess what? You might not get your shopping done that day. But God's going to work it out. It'll be fine. God never goes by my calendar, ever. I put it down, but I don't get to all of it. But I really say, God, I want to lay my head down every night knowing I got to what you wanted me to get to. But pride will not let me do that if I run the show. Oh, God, please help us all. And God will exalt you in marvelous ways. In that relationship, covered with his grace and practicing this humility, humility meaning that I acknowledge you, God, in everything I do. You're the one who gets the glory. If any of our singers out here are singing and their voices are great and they're hitting those notes, that's a God thing. Thank you, God. If you do really well that day as a mom and the kids are good, everybody ate, you got all your stuff done, dad's there and all this, it's you, God. If there's harmony in the home, it's because of you, God, not because I'm special way you have. If someone understands the truth of God by something I teach, it's not me. It's not how I said it. It's not how I articulate it. It's the Spirit of God striking an open heart. A teachable spirit, so very powerful. If you do that, covered with his grace, practicing humility, you will be changed beyond measure. Do not grade yourself. This thing takes time. It's only over time. And people who haven't seen you for years and years, they're remembering you from before. They should see a huge change in you now. And not that you go around displaying that change, but how you react to them, how you respond to them, what you are doing, what you are speaking about, what gives you joy in life. Those lives surrounded by the Lord, it changes. The joy in your life changes. What gives you joy changes. It goes from the impure to the pure when you're with the Lord. And I just often think, can you imagine a meeting at your place of work or at church or some committee you're on or blast patrol or something like that where everyone had on the hat of humility and had a teachable spirit? Wouldn't that be a wonderful difference? And that just shows people getting together. We all show up at every meeting with our viewpoint, our ideas, how we see it, not realizing we are children before God. That's where we are that day, but we are going to change and we're going to grow for the better. So hopefully we understand that, that the learning, the sharing, the helping, the self-discipline and the angers and the disputes and all that stuff, to let the God nature rule rather than the lesser nature is going to keep us humble. It's going to add even more grace. We're going to be able to get through the more difficult time. There's no free ride here in a Christian existence. I don't know who people who are teaching that, but you're going to run into struggle and more so. There's the regular struggle of just living on the planet. And then there's a struggle the adversary will be glad to add to your life because he wants you tripped up, confused, and getting far away from God. So even if things didn't happen so wonderfully as we're expressing tonight, even if it didn't quite happen today, just work on that. Keep going to the Lord and make sure that it happens next time. Remember, God gives grace. There's that second chance. There's that favor. He doesn't throw us away. He gives grace, and he gives grace to the humble. So we really need to stay that way. And it's truly a win-win situation. God is pleased, and we are blessed. God bless you.